Yesterday was Ascension Day, and this season between Ascension on the 40th day after Easter and Pentecost, the 50th day after Easter, this time is called Ascension Tide. And we ask ourselves, what does it mean that our Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven? Here's a reading to help us understand from Luke 17. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And Jesus said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them, for the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other. So will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away, and likewise let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left." And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" Jesus said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the eagles will gather." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These verses are, at first reading, scary. They describe God's judgment, the end of time. But when we see them in light of the cross of Jesus, we understand better what's going on. The kingdom of God comes through the cross, through the one whose body, whose holy body, was lifted up on the cross. And so that last verse from Luke 17:37, where Jesus says, "Where the corpse is, there the eagles will gather," I suggest the eagles refers to the standards that were on much Roman military insignia and lifted up by Roman armies as they marched to battle. The Romans, who were in charge of the crucifixion, would have had eagles present there where Jesus' corpse was hung on the tree. So too, we see eagles in American coinage and another symbolism. It represents worldly power that often sets itself against God's kingdom. But in the midst of it all, God's kingdom is in our midst. The Book of Concord, the formula of Concord, writes about the ascension in this way in the 8th article. Now, Jesus has ascended to heaven, not merely as any other saint, like Elijah or Enoch, but the apostle Paul testifies that he has ascended above all heavens. He also truly fills all things, being present everywhere, not only as God, but also as man. He rules from sea to sea, to the ends of the earth, as the prophets predict, and the apostles testify. He did this everywhere with them and confirmed their word with signs. See Mark 16:20. This did not happen in an earthly way. As Dr. Luther explains, this happened according to the way things are done at God's right hand. God's right hand is no set place in heaven. It is nothing other than God's almighty power, which fills heaven and earth. Christ has been installed according to his humanity in deed and truth, without confusing the two natures in their essence and essential properties. By this communicated divine power, according to the words of his testament, the words of institution, he can be and is truly present with his body and blood in the Holy Supper. He has pointed this out for us by his word. This is possible for no other man, because no man is united with the divine nature the way Jesus, the Son of Mary, is. No man is installed in such divine, almighty majesty and power through and in the personal union of the two natures in Christ. For in him, the divine and human nature are personally united with each other. So in Christ, as Paul writes in Colossians 2, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. In this personal union, the two natures have such a grand, intimate, indescribable communion that even the angels are astonished by it. As St. Peter testifies in 1 Peter 1, they have their delight and joy in looking into this mystery. May you, dear Christian, find delight and joy as you meditate on Christ's ascension, which is for you. At our ascension service, I spoke very lightly about quantum entanglement and noted how even physicists see how subatomic particles that seem to be separated by vast distances can be intimately linked. You can tickle a particle in California to make another particle in New York wiggle. This reminds us that we who are often separated by vast distances on Earth are intimately connected through Jesus' body and blood. Jesus is not far off, but he is active and moving. He's lifting us up every time we receive his supper. And may the ascended Lord, who is also present with you on earth, give you strength, hope, and joy. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your kingdom continues to be in our midst as you come to us now through holy water, holy words, and holy food. Help us to see that your kingdom is a kingdom of suffering, but that through suffering, we will be prepared to enter into glory when you return on that final day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.